This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Wyatt. At least one of the many men who confront Jesus has an honest heart. You will want to hear this.
Thank you, Dennis. This is about the kingdom, and Sharon reads for us about one lawyer who comes close. But close is not enough. It is still all about Jesus Christ.
As one of the scribes approached, he heard them all debating, realizing how well Jesus answered them. So he asked him, "Which of the commandments is of first importance above all others?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no commandments greater than these.' And the scribe said to him, 'You answer correctly, teacher. You have said truly that he is one, and there is no other but he, and to love him with all your heart and understanding and with all your strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is so much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices.' And Jesus, upon seeing that he answered so well, said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' And after that, no one dared ask him any more questions."
Thank you again, Sharon. This particular narrative takes place during the time when various Jewish religious leaders were doing their very best to ensnare Jesus with questions meant to expose his supposed faulty thinking. Instead, Jesus constantly and repeatedly turned the questions, the sinister attempts of scribes, Pharisees, and Sadducees, back upon them. Jesus repeatedly revealed his amazing grasp of Scripture and history, always taking his hostile questioners back to first principles, back to the basics, the very roots of their faith. This is also one of my favorite texts. As the text used last week on the healing of Bartimaeus was one of my grandfather's favorites. I used this as my text closing out my seminary studies in Berkeley years ago. This, my senior sermon, angered my liberal professors, which was probably what I intended. After being bludgeoned for 3 years by their skepticism and disbelief, it was time for me to assert what I believed was the truth. I just did not anticipate the depth of their anger. After all, grown men stomping out of a chapel service because their hallowed pretensions were being hoisted with their own petard. You see, I never fear the truth, especially when it is supported by scriptures. As with all that Jesus says, this small encounter with the scribe is also an encounter encapsulating all that Jesus came to do, and reveals his constant effort to reach out to everyone, even those who begin by plotting against him. This also carries implications for everyone, immersed in their own singular perceptions, those with a single way of looking at things, unable to see the larger picture, be it our faith, our future, even our governmental policies. It is somewhat like being unable to see the forest for the trees. One must see the basic principles, the foundation, and not become sidetracked by insignificant minutiae. This is a time to focus on what is truly important, what it is that makes our family, we as individuals, and our civilization unique and different. Note, I did not say our culture, but I said our civilization. Much of our culture, its fascination with celebrities, its obsession with money, with fame and power, its open titillation with lust, is reprehensible. And yet it is what the rest of the world encounters first when it comes to America. But instead, I am speaking of our current Western civilization as it has matured. This which promotes our values of true character, freedom, the toleration of the beliefs of others, and open and free debate. This is due of our Judeo-Christian beliefs. Each person's liberty, health, peace, and happiness is of the greatest value and is what our God desires for everyone. That is what we are all thankful for, that God loves us, and such a love will make a way of vindication, of wholeness for those that do love him in return. This is what is called God's providence, the concept that God has purposed, desires the good, the beautiful, the wonderful for his own. True, we may experience tough times, difficulties, those days when we are crushed by horrific events, overwhelming defeat, or serious illness. Still, this never removes the truth of God's providential love. Our faith is never pessimistic, defeatist, or devoid of hope. It is never dependent on some mysterious thing called fate. It is paramount to our faith that our God never fails his people. Those who love him will be found eventually happy and whole in him. God will always work it all for his good in us, if we but persevere in our faith. It is this kind of love that we give thanks for, this kind of providence that surrounds each of us who believe. But we must believe. Our culture too often is crowded with those who no longer believe they are special, that we no longer have a duty and responsibility to try to live others to a higher existence. But our civilization, however, still sparkles at times, as we hear stories of incredible bravery and honor, of the hundreds, the thousands who give without thought of themselves for the needs of others, who work tirelessly for the welfare of so many projects and individuals in need. Our only prayer is that those efforts are truly worthwhile and will make a positive contribution to our Judeo-Christian civilization. There is so much as we gather around the table that we should look at in an uplifting way, and so much we need to pray about, that God gives us the wisdom to change what we can, that we not see only the dark side, that we never give up, and never let the heavy hand of the enemy, as he endeavors to bring us to his level of malfeasance, despondency, and horror, ever succeed. In God we are much better than that. Indeed, with Christ in us, we will triumph as a people in God. And that is the issue. We must be in Christ. We must be with God as he moves sovereignly in our world to work out his purposes. Understand that always in God's providential love, his purposes will be achieved. And that purpose is that his word, his love, his salvation might be made available to all people, that they too may have the opportunity to be counted as one of his own. No one is excluded. All can be his special people, those called his elect. The question is always, what is the first, the most important commandment? What is the most important thing that we can do as individuals and as a people or a nation for God? As the scribe in our story who approaches Jesus upon hearing the many disputes and questions that he was being asked, and as he is impressed at how well this itinerant Galilean preacher handles himself, against what was considered the finest minds in the nation, he thought, I will ask him the question that is uppermost in my mind. He inquires of Jesus in his own field of expertise. In the world of ancient Judaism, the interpretation, the meaning of the law was paramount in importance. And always in such careful interpretations, difficulties arose. And thus more was added to an ever-increasing law code. It was to everyone's estimation becoming increasingly difficult. There were at this time 613 statutes covered by oral restrictions, 365 written prohibitions, one for each day of the year, and 248 commandments. This was too much for anyone. So our scribe is asking Jesus, what is that which is truly important? What are those that stand above all other laws, statutes, and commandments? Jesus, who always confounds the experts with his uncanny grasp of the essentials, reaches back not to the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, but back to the Shema, as it was called, those words that are still the first spoken in any Jewish prayer. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then Jesus adds the next verse that follows in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter and the 5th verse. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Then uniquely, Jesus adds that there is a second, which he says follows as a necessity. It is a natural outgrowth of our love of God, that we should love our neighbors as ourselves. This is new. He has freed this idea from any restrictions, tying it to his revolutionary teaching on who is a neighbor. In one simple phrase, Jesus has done away with the understanding that our service to God is concerned with acquiring merit or liturgical correctness, that what is needed is love, love of God and each other. This is an easily grasped summation of all the law and the prophetic books. This involves the whole of one's being. God claims us holy as his own, and we are called to so seek God as he seeks us with our whole being. This clearly cannot be measured as a legal thing. We can't measure this by just our actions. It is something that comes from the heart. It is an attitude that will determine our whole outlook on life. Here there is no heaping up of hair-splitting distinctions. Jesus' answer goes to the very divine principle of why the law was given. It was given not to make men righteous. That was always impossible. Righteousness is something that comes to us in God's grace. The law was to set people apart as God's own, the very object of his love. We still are to be his as he is ours. And thus, as it is based in love, so we are to so care, yes, even love, others. This has always been the truth of the gospel from the beginning of time. The law was the tutor, the mentor, if you will, to guide men and women to the love of God, to his grace, as he who gives us our standing as righteous. First, looking forward to the atoning redemptive work of the Christ, and now looking back on the same work of Christ. It is this that makes our time of thanksgiving meaningful. And if we fail to include this work of redemption, we have missed it all. It is redemption that is everything. The young scribe, when he agrees with the simplification of the law that Jesus provides, that indeed the love of the one God, the only God, with one's entire being, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is, as he puts it, much more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. Then Jesus declares that he is not far from the kingdom of God. What he lacks, as do most people, is adding Jesus Christ to the equation. This scribe needs to realize, accept, and believe in Jesus as he who is more than all the burnt offerings, more than all the rituals. So this scribe is being challenged to recognize not just the wisdom and power residing in Jesus as the Christ, but that in Jesus resides the kingdom, all hope, and indeed our salvation. That is why they dare not ask him any more questions. Matthew, of course, records Jesus' question to them as to what they think of David's promised son, the Messiah, and whose son is he really? Again, Jesus is more than hinting about who he is in reality. So much for the skeptics and doubters, the so-called liberal scholars, who would reject the idea that Jesus ever claimed to be divine. The Gospels, you see, are filled with this divine truth. Mark, because of his brevity, has skipped this question. But it isn't necessary. The scribe is not far from the kingdom of God. The distance he needs to go, but stands in front of him. It is Jesus. The obvious question he should now ask is, what need we do? What must I do if we are not far from the kingdom? But they dare not ask, for the answer is something they don't want to hear. You see, Jesus is the answer to the question that has absorbed Judaism for centuries and continues to absorb millions today. He is the answer, he whose providential love will bring us as a people to victory. I speak not of particular nations, but his people, the children of God. Our thanksgiving is that we thank our God that his Christ has come and abides with his people. You see, not all that is worshipped as God is so. He has revealed himself to mankind fully, only in Jesus the Christ. For that we should fall on our faces and thank God, the true living God, Yahweh as the Old Testament names him, and known in the revelation of his word, his Son, Jesus Christ, is the only one. He is the Lord our God. The Lord is one. The popular idea that all worship the true God only in different forms and by different names is a deception and a dangerous falsehood. We are blessed that the living true God is the one we know and love, and that he loves us and will see us through even the darkest of days. I but pray earnestly that all will be thankful for that providential love. And I pray that all my neighbors in those nations bordering us, those to the north and those to the south, will also love our God and worship only him. That we as a people thrive and see all who are our neighbors, wherever they live in our world, also be so blessed with freedom to worship the living God without fear of death. To be not far is too far away. We so want all to know Jesus Christ and to be near as part of his kingdom. O Lord our God, the Lord is one. It is he who has made us all, who blesses, touches, heals, and saves. It is him we owe all to, and to him we give thanks. He will see us through. He will bring us to victory. To him is indeed all thanksgiving due, and is due all our love. Always in the name of Jesus, make it so. Amen.
It is revealing to us that the scribe was described by our Lord as not far from the kingdom of God.
And Dr. Wyatt, because of such messages, is offering this week a copy of his newest book titled, The Question of Prayer. This is our own demand by God upon our lives, so do write and ask for your copy of The Question of Prayer. It can be yours at no charge.
Your graciousness is truly a blessing to this ministry, and we thank our Lord for each and everyone who does write, and every precious gift from you.
The address is Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Also, secure contributions can be made on our website at www.thomasrwyatt.org. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society, Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. I want to share with you this from Joy, who resides right here in Southern California, who tells us her suffering, pain, and inability to sleep, all of it is gone, and she is praising God. We rejoice with you, Joy, and please, if you need prayer, do write us. Dennis will provide our addresses once more, following our own Jazena Cortez performing a favorite, When Eyes Survey the Wondrous Cross. And until next week, may you know fully the kingdom of our God.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries and is supported only by the gracious gifts from people like you. This is a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. Please do write and remember that to stay on this station, Dr. Wyatt needs to hear from you. As always, CDs of these programs are available, and this week Dr. Wyatt is offering his newest and very timely study, titled The Question of Prayer. This is important for all believers, so do write and ask for The Question of Prayer. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry on the internet at thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.